Good day, everybody. Welcome to the Got Brain podcast presented by Cognitivology, where we will continuously discuss and present in detail the mechanics of intuitive intelligence that are built on our inborn basic intuition. Plus, we will also be presenting the true mechanics and virtues of diversification. Now, you may be pondering, what do these two things have in common? And this is something we will continue to present and unfold for you about the significant connection between these two facets of our human potential. I would like to introduce myself. I am Carla Mencken-Wolf, and also my wonderful best friend and editor, Bryce Conway. And she's going to say something. What would you like to say?
Hi, everybody. My name is Bryce Conway, as Carla Mencken-Wolf had just said. I wanted to say that we are, in fact, the mechanics of intuition and diversification. I hope you guys enjoy our presentation and stick around for others. We welcome all comments and questions. We will try to answer them all throughout the next couple of weeks or months, and hopefully on this journey of brain potential discovery, you guys will learn something. This information is only was developed by us and only can be presented by cognitivologists, which is what we are.
And we also hope to learn something from you from all of you in our audience, as we learn about the questions and inquiries you have about true human brain potential, or the genuine, bona fide, authentic potentialities of what our brain has intended us to be and become in all of our commonality and our uniqueness.
Hello.
And we are back again.
We are.
And we want to continue our talks with the selfies, as we've been
yes.
saying.
Yes. Hopefully you guys were not too put off, excuse my negation there, of the fact that our last podcast was in two parts, and that, if you noticed, we broke kind of mid-word.
Yes, we did. It was kind of mid-word broken.
It was.
It was, I would say that. But yeah. If you managed to listen to both parts, thank you very, very
thank
much.
Thank you very much. Absolutely.
And we know we sounded a little bit distended because we were throwing in a bunch of things. But on some days when we're explaining the themes that we're going through or some of the concepts, we know that we're always challenged with the idea of explaining what real brain development is, and at the same time undoing a lot of the narratives and concepts that people have about how our true potential works.
So, yes.
I actually spoke to somebody while I was in Boston this past week who thought, well, if we raise the level of intelligence, you know, what are going to be the consequences of that? So, of course, I had zero time to go into the fact that raising the intelligence is based on the brain's hardwired cocktail system.
Right.
So that would be a ridiculous happening or yield. But
why? I'm sorry.
If we were raising the consciousness.
Raising the level of intelligence.
We're raising the level of intuitive intelligence. So the general consciousness, as he was going forth with it, he thought that would just make people more inclined to do ridiculous things just at a more sophisticated level. But there was very little time involved here for me to explain to him that First, in order to raise our intelligence level, it would have to be based on the real cocktail code. That's right. The only way it's going to happen. And the real cocktail code is going to put people in the general disposition of doing more good for themselves than and for others than the contrast of that.
Sure.
Let's put it simply that way.
Right. which is what we, in fact, are trying to do. We are trying to have the individuals who are in contact with children raise the level of intuitive intelligence.
Right, which includes both our ability to think for ourselves and understand complex feats and fields of knowledge, as well as have a more intuitively inclined ability for our behavior aptitudes that's in line with the way the brain operates, which is according to the cocktail code: compassion, optimism,
right,
truth, trust, curiosity, charity, optimism, altruism, love, logic, imagination, intuition, knowledge.
You guys got all that?
Communication.
There's going to be a quiz later.
Yeah, there's going to be a quiz. Whoever sends in their answers first will get, what can we give them?
We'll give them a book.
We'll give you a book. So how does that align with the selfie? So imagine your selfie, your sense of selfie is like a chain. There are many links on it and they have to be connected together. So when we spoke about self-love and self-telepathy and self-vulnerability and self-trust and self-regulation and self-critical thinking and self-intuiting and self-telepathy and are pretty much the same thing. And, you know, I'll get a better hand on memorizing all the selfies because the list of selfies goes on. It's as many as there are, you could say, traits as the cocktail code. So we will bring them more into the fold of this theme for this year as we go along. For these first couple of months, we've been wanting to introduce the whole concept of the selfies.
Mm-hmm.
I want to introduce it more also in terms of integrated development. And I want to introduce it more and detail it in accordance with the true aptitudes of adult living.
Okay.
And also that everybody has so many different diverse abilities. And so the selfies, all of those selfies, they're like a chain of links tied together that infuse all of our particular abilities, both our common abilities and our unique abilities. So in light of that, the average adult or any adult that is working on self-development is basically healing mostly childhood wounds. So the idea that, of course, we've been proposing through all of this and through our work in cognitivology is raising children without wounds. Because as much as people think that going through traumas or tragedies or travesties and things, and we could learn so much, and they give us this fire in our belly to go do this, that, and the other thing, that's great. And that happens because that's the way we're built, to go be achieving and make the best of everything and be able to rise above adversities of any kind and strive for goodness and brilliance and connection and warmth and love. So, but if we're originally really supposed to be able to just be all those things and do them based on our abilities, we could say that have been fostered. So as opposed to abilities that were unmet when we were children, which include a whole range of things, including our extrasensory abilities, which would, you know, triply or quadruply amplify all of our abilities and connect them better together, because now they're connected by more things that they're originally supposed to be connected by, rather than just, you know, the basics of cognition or the most fundamental aspects of intuition. But there, now you would have your natural inherent psychic abilities and other sensory tools that are fostered. So you have many more support systems inside of you. That would be what the selfies are, that give rise and verve and nerve, good nerve, rather than dysregulated nerve systems. All of that would augment your abilities, and then your abilities are more, you could say, in tune with each other, or in camaraderie with one another. And so that makes that whole process of skill transferability much easier, to always constantly learn new skills. Mm-hmm. And so in that context, we want to keep speaking about the selfies, but again, the main focus this year is really to help people change the narrative about the broken system versus the unbroken system. Mm-hmm. Right? So is it necessary for us to be broken and traumatized just so that we can discover all of the things that we could be able to do from disenchanting situations? Because whatever we do as humans, we're always going to strive for something greater or better. Meanwhile, there's people who are unable to do that. Is it fair to say that just because they failed to have the predilection to rise above those things, that they deserve to be just where they are, or to blame them for being where they are at that station in life, because they feel depleted of the things that are really needed according to our original development, just so that they can also rise above, right? But the main point we're driving home again is that it's unnecessary for us to go through all of that trauma and adversity in order to find our true voice or our true soul. We should be able to be raised in accordance with our true soul and our true voice and our true heart and mind, so that we're always finding the most elaborately diverse and vast array of the context of our uniqueness and the arrangement of our specifically individual abilities, because there's so much more to live and learn by when we're coded to do what we are designed to do. There's just so much more to it than that. So would you like to say something? You're just smiling at me.
I am.
You're just smiling at me the whole time.
Yep. What keeps coming up in my head, and again, I apologize for the negation, but the whole adage of if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
But if it is broke, let's fix it, which is what we're.
Here's the interesting thing of that, though. Most times when you hear an old folk say that term, it's for that individual, it ain't broke, but
yeah,
it's hard for the old folks to understand how broken it actually is.
Right.
I mean, nature is a wonderful thing. A tree can split down the center from a lightning strike or whatever. And instead of someone saying, well, that's now broken, they say, wow, isn't that wonderful? you know, they can now have two trees, or look at how well it's healing, or nature has found a way to, in fact, repair it. So we're just giving nature a little hand to have all of our listeners' brains be struck by lightning about how powerful speaking to, you know, your children, speaking to all individuals with the removal of the negation. It's a very powerful thing to use the language that we were all born to use and intuitively learned with active, positive verbiage. I should say non-negated, because
it's non-negated, optimal, compassionate. It's knowledge coded. It's diversely knowledge coded. So it's addressed cognitively correct language or neuro-linguistic programming. I like to call it, for cognitivology purposes, neuro-linguistic postulating, because as people can hear themselves going non-negated, you know, just as people have gone green, like we're asking people to go green in language semantics, right?
Right.
So instead of,
and be sustainable.
Right. Uh-huh. Right. So instead of destroying things and then just finding ways to restore it and then make them sustainable, that's what we're looking to do with the brain. We're saying, okay, let's fix it by using the proper neurolinguistics. Experience what it feels like to use proper neurolinguistics. And by the way, if you're using the cognitively correct version that should be used with children, then you're still benefiting because you're having to use those words. It's affecting your neuroplasticity. It's influencing your brain. So there's a certain amount of inner child healing in the adult that takes place with neurolinguistics. And there's a triple amount that takes place when you are giving that type of neurolinguistic patterns to your children. So because it's built on a fundamental set of blueprints or standards that are flawless in terms of the way the brain processes information, then it can severely compound, because when you have that type of foundation, then rather than there being glitches in it or being unnatural or unscientific or unmathematical, if it's mathematically correct, because the other way to say cognitively correct or neurolinguistically correct or whatever is to say it's mathematically correct. It's because everything is a matter of natural math patterns and everything that springs out of that. Oh, we should say starting with point zero and then patterns and then everything that springs forth, because everything is originally starting at that starting point.
Right.
So for lack of giving it a better description, but it's as simple as that. So to give another example, so I got this off of LinkedIn a few days ago. Somebody else posted this and I think also borrowed it from somebody else. And apparently the credit goes to someone named Anna Maria Life Coach. So she did this really brilliant design. And this would be, you know, one day if we do the visual part of our podcast, we would be showing something like this. I know it's very nice for people to be able to do that, but we still like the idea of people listening to us maybe in their car. If they listen to podcasts in their car without having to worry about looking at pictures. So,
right.
But this person did a kind of stick figure of a person, and then they called it a body map of stored emotions manifesting as pain or in pain. And so there's these various parts of the body in which they're described. For instance, the jaw, it's got tension, which is, you know, based on anger, the heart, and where the joy and love are. So that's achy, and you know, you have heart disease at the extreme and whatnot, but palpitations, people can have nervous energy, anxiety in their, you know, their heart chakra area, numb arms from lack of control. So this little figurine and chart of traits here is a very brilliant way to explain the connection between trauma and disease, you could say, and pain,
right?
And the things that people go through. So as wonderful and brilliant as this is, there's a part on here that says the gut, basically everything. You know, pain, and any kind of pain can manifest in your gut. And then if there's pains in your hands, that she's saying there's problems letting go. So, and I've only mentioned a few of these things.
Sure.
So now if we did a chart of a figurine like this, and maybe I will do that somewhere in the next couple of months.
Okay.
We could refer back to this, but we did a chart of cognitively correct development. Then we could just even take a few of these and discuss them and what the body would feel like or look like if we were getting the cognitively correct language.
Sure.
And so on that note, we will say so long for now.
We will.
And we are still sort of finalizing things for the website.
I'm going to say that by the time this drops, we will, because this is the end of March or mid-March. So you will, our website will be up and live. It currently is live. And hopefully
we need some fine tuning.
You'll be able to buy books or to schedule a consultation.
Yes.
Definitely, if you are unaware, it is cognitivology.org.
Right.
is our main website. Again, right. cognitivology.org. And we are always open to have you buy us a coffee.
Right here on the podcast. And basically what we're saying is that, I guess we could describe ourselves in accordance with the website, is that we are open for business, but our facility is still under partial construction, we could say, to some degree. So, you know, just pretend you're going into your favorite coffee shop to get your favorite coffee, even though one of the walls is still being refurbished or something like that. So, thank you for being with us. And I think holidays are going to be coming up for a lot of people soon. And I hope that we can see some elements of peace and love reigning around the world and raining down upon us in many different ways. I'm sure people will come up with some creative ways to show love during the upcoming spring season of this year. Thank you, everyone.